Welcome to Beauty as a Birthright, a podcast where we decode the evolving concept of beauty from a multidimensional lens. In this space, we embark on a journey with engaging guests from all walks of life to figure out if beauty is a birthright, then what's our legacy? So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. So in our last episode, we had the pleasure of chatting with Francesca Isaac, who is the co-owner of Alma Acupuncture based in Philadelphia. It was a really good episode. She identifies as a multicultural Black and Puerto Rican daughter of immigrant parents from the U.S. Virgin Islands. We got to talk a lot about what beauty is in these different multidimensional cultures, and then a lot about her autoimmune disease, which she is really open with. So hi, Paige.
Hi, Tamsin.
Oh my God, I had so much fun hanging out with Francesca.
I know. I think we both just absolutely adore her.
Yeah.
And so it was so fun to have the three of us in here because we both just love her.
Yeah. And like, we both follow her and she follows us on Instagram. We met on Instagram. Right. And so it's, you know, you follow these people and you're like, oh, cool. I like this person. Oh, I wish we could hang out. And then to actually like meet them in real life, well, over Zoom. Right. And you're like, oh my God, you're cool as I thought you were.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, when will we see one another? Like you, me, her.
Oh my God, girls trip.
Yeah.
Girls trip. So yeah, I want to know, like, was there anything that she talked about? Because I mean, we talked about so many different things. We talked about growing up in a multicultural home, and then her having a daughter, and then a lot about body issues with autoimmune disease. Was there anything that stood out for you that you could resonate with or relate to?
I mean, I could relate to a lot of those things, being multicultural, being a mother. I also have an autoimmune disease as well. So
you? I didn't know that.
Yes, I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Wow.
So the autoimmune version of hypothyroidism.
So what she was saying, were did it resonate as somebody else with an autoimmune disease?
Yeah. So the interesting thing with my autoimmune disease is it's that underactive thyroid, right? So to like sum it up in a way that's really simple, but it doesn't do the whole disease justice, but you have a really slow and compromised metabolism. So I've always just continue to put weight on and weight on and weight on because of my autoimmune disease. And then because of hers, I mean, it sounds like she has both, where she said she'll put on a lot of weight and she knows it's because she's about to shed very quickly because of symptom flare up. So just that idea of like being impacted directly by your autoimmune disease, having your weight directly impacted by your autoimmune disease was something that I really resonated with.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for her to share that when she's really thin, it's in historically been because she's actually really sick. And then for me, it's the opposite. It's when I'm like very heavy or like very bloated or retaining a lot of fluids, because it also affects my fluid metabolism, that I'm actually really sick. So she has like, her takeaway was seemed healthy in that it was like, just because someone's thin and glowing doesn't necessarily mean they got there in a healthy way, or doesn't necessarily mean they're healthy. And for me, my takeaway has not been helpful for my history of body image and eating issues, because my takeaway is when I'm really big or swollen or I have weight on, I actually am experiencing a lot of flare up and symptomatic issues, and I'm not healthy and I don't feel good.
So you can flip it too, right? Like, it's like, then you could see people who are bigger body or whatever. It's not always because of just a weight gain issue. It's like, they could be struggling with like an autoimmune disease. That is just like, their body is literally attacking itself. It doesn't matter how many, you could do all the cardio you want and it's not going to help.
Exactly. Yes. No. So that's so true. So to have both of those understandings is really important for people, for society, just like everyday life. When you see other people, you just have no idea, right? Is kind of like, but the conclusion of that is, But what about you?
Do you have this? I feel, yes. I feel like we've been dating and it's like, I just found this out, but we've been dating for so long now. It's like, how did we not talk about this? Am I a good partner?
What's my favorite color, Jess?
I don't, oh my God, I don't know. But like, I asked Francesca this question. I want to ask you, does having an AI disease make you feel disconnected or more connected with the body?
Yeah. So the interesting thing for me with Hashimoto's is, and I see this with patients, I didn't have a chance to ask Francesca about it, but for me personally, and from what I see in the clinic, a lot of these autoimmune diseases stem from trauma. And mine specifically was not having a voice and having a lot of terrible things happen to me at a very young age and not being able to vocalize and stand up for myself and speak out and speak my truth. So it's like my chi got stuck in my throat for decades.
Oh, wow.
And it just diseased my thyroid. I mean, it attacked my thyroid nonstop. And that idea of your body attacking itself, or how biomedicine is trying to understand it, they talk about it that way. But it's really, for me, that's where it came from. And so it came from a place where I was very disconnected to myself. I wasn't honoring my voice. I didn't know how to use it. But then in order to find healing and to feel better, it's forced me to really deeply connect with those traumas, that history, and the why behind why I was so disempowered, and then how to feel better about it by using my voice, stepping more into my power, and coming to terms and reconciling with a lot of my experiences. So that journey of it has helped me connect to myself, but how I got there was from a deep disconnection to myself.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, doing this podcast, it's like a healing thing because you literally have to talk.
Yes.
Like every week.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's true. But what about you, Tamsin? What are some things that Francesca said that really stood out for you personally?
You know, we talked a lot about her different cultures because her dad is Black, her mom is Puerto Rican, but they're from the U.S. Virgin. They're from St. Thomas, but they immigrated to the U.S., right? So I think a lot of that resonated with me because I grew up in a very diverse neighborhood, like old school white folks, families, like old school Italian, Russians, but also a big Black and Puerto Rican community in New York. And so a lot of my good friends growing up were either Black and Puerto Rican. And I grew up in their homes a lot because my parents worked. And so I grew up around that culture. And so my sense of beauty was like, that's how I saw beauty, was through their lens. And it wasn't until we moved to a predominantly white town that I was like, culture shock, that like what I thought was beauty because of how the culture's like perceived that beauty was not what beauty was. And as a kid, it was like, it was really hard to understand that. And like, not, and even, I don't think I really understood until like my mid 20s, like how much that really shaped how I saw beauty. So how I saw beauty was through Black and Puerto Rican culture, which is like bigger body, voluptuous, like you got a booty, darker skin, different textured hair, you know? And then, and then in my 20s, I was like, or actually more in like 30s, like it was like when I moved to Portland, I was like, wait, what? Like being in, like, that's not beautiful. And so it was this culture shock. So I think the other thing that I resonated really hard with was, she didn't really talk a lot about it, but I think we talked a little bit about it, was like, you know, when you're a child of immigrant parents and family, it's just a different, it's almost like, yes, your race and ethnicity matters, but there are things that immigrant kids can bond over. And it's like this idea that your parents are just, they work really hard and they don't have time for anything, like, let alone like talk about beauty or like your existential crisis. You know, they're like, no, we got to work. And like, you know, you have to work hard. And so It makes me think about, like, you know, she mentioned like there wasn't anything that she grew up with, like learning about beauty from her parents, because they were just working a lot, except adornment, which I thought was so interesting, like wearing jewelry. Mm-hmm. That made me think of Jamie Pinata's episode where we talked about adornment. And I'm like, I love this theme of adornment keeps coming up. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had such a cool image when she shared that too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what either of her parents look like. And she was speaking more about her mom specifically in that moment, but I was just picturing how she was describing her mom. And then with like a bunch of like gold jewelry.
Yeah. Like from her parents or her mom and stuff. And like, for me, I always bought like kind of cheap jewelry because I changed my style and I'm so fickle with things. And so, but I grew up wearing jewelry because my dad was a jeweler at one point. So I was like 5 wearing diamond rings, which is just insane.
Oh.
But now that I'm an adult, I've been thinking a lot about like, man, I want to invest money and buy good jewelry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, I'll talk about this. You did? Tell me more.
Yes.
What is this?
So my family, so my grandma grew up, I mentioned in a previous podcast, with a lot of wealth in China. They moved to the US. Her dad got into a bad business partnership. They literally lost everything. So they went from living in the main house and having a carriage house for their staff to flipping it to living in the carriage house.
In China or in Hawaii?
This is when they came to Hawaii. Okay. So 7 children, 2 adults, and then having to rent out their main house. And so still they became very poor. And then the only thing that my great grandma held onto was jewelry, because it's such a high value in Chinese culture, gold and jade. And then very sadly is they were robbed and lost pretty much like majority of the family jewelry. And then whatever was left, my family was later robbed of, because my mom's the oldest daughter. So I think she held a lot of the family jewelry, and then we were robbed. So everything was cleaned out. Like, there's literally the only thing that was left in our family was, if just so happened that some of the women were wearing jewelry at the time of these robberies. So that's all we have. So I actually don't really have family heirloom pieces. And you know, there are a few pieces that my grandma wears, but she has 2 daughters, and I don't know if I'll ever have them in my own possession. But anywho, so it made me be like, okay, I need to just start. And I don't have a daughter, but my son does love jade. But I just thought, like, I need to just start building my own collection for myself of like really good quality jewelry and jade. So that's what I've been doing, actually. Like, I prepared this before entering into the tiger year so that I could be adorned for the tiger year.
Oh, I love this. Oh my God, I'm just picturing a wild tiger just all adorned in jewel world and just like lounging in the jungle.
Oh my gosh, Tamsin. But are you actively looking for specific types of jewelry?
Man, I'm so specific about like style. I hate shopping. Like, I really hate shopping because I'm so picky about things. Like, literally, I've been looking for this emerald dress for about 7 years. I still can't find it. You know, that's just how I am. And like, I really want like a nice watch. And like, I haven't found one. I've been looking for one for years. My features are weird. Like, I have very thin wrist, and so like nothing fits. So I can never buy bracelets and things. Everything has to be custom made or child size. And then my fingers are thin. And so it's like rings don't ever fit me. And so I'm just a fancy girl. Like, I just need custom jewelry.
Yes.
But I love gold. And it was in Chinese medicine school that I was like, I think maybe in my 20s, I stopped wearing silver. And I'm like, I look better in gold with my skin tone. But then in Chinese medicine, when I was in school, I'm like, oh, this makes sense, because I actually need more nourishing. And so one of my teachers was like, if you're more yang deficient, you wear more gold. And if you're more yang excess, you wear silver. But I don't have any kids. I just want to do it for myself.
Yeah. Tell me.
Well, remember when Crazy Rich Asians came out and Michelle Yeoh, she plays the mom, and she wore these beautiful green emerald earrings. Mm-hmm. And she did an interview, and those were actually her own earrings. And I think the interviewer had maybe asked her, like, who bought that? Was it your husband? And she's like, no, I bought it for myself. It's very expensive. I was like, oh, that's the vibe I want.
Yep. But what other gemstones do you like? You like gold.
And this is where my girly part doesn't come out. Like, I don't know anything about gemstones or anything. Like, mm-hmm. I like them as crystals. But yeah, in terms of like wearing it, I'm just like, I guess I should like sapphire, because that's like my birthstone. Yeah. But like, I do love emerald, and I think that looks good. Deep greens look good, but I never think about it in gemstones. Like,
mm-hmm. Do you like jade?
I don't know. I know I like white jade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. We shouldn't talk about this, but maybe some other time. But different jades, I'm not sure. Like, yeah, it'd be interesting, because I know jade has such a big, it's so influential in Chinese culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive and hard to find, like, yeah, real jade, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to.
Why is jade so important in Chinese culture? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of reasons, but it's like, it's really good at protection. So protecting you. If it's raw jade, it can bring negative energy in, and then like suck negative energy in and then disperse it back out. Mm. And, you know, growing up, it's pretty custom for your baby to have a jade bangle on to protect them and their health. It also brings good fortune and wealth. Then Chinese language loves to play on the sound of words. So the word for jade is like yu. And then this is similar to the word fish. So there's like this idea of like fish eating money, or like you can see like fish with cabbage. Yeah, it's really similar stuff. So,
In Korean culture, like we give baby, when they turn one, we give them a gold ring. And so maybe that's why I'm just drawn to gold, and we don't have like a stone thing. But we do have gold stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right.
All of this, though, reminds me of my grandma, which is like, she was the one who wore a lot of jewelry and like took care of her skin. But my grandma and I didn't have a good relationship. She was like very emotionally abusive. And so, but I'm realizing as I get older, but she raised me like as a kid. And so it's like, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing so much of her ideas of beauty has influenced me, and I am very much like her, which has been like this strange thing. It's like, how can I be so much like this person who created so much pain in my life, in my family's life? But yet, like, how she adorned herself and how she took care of herself is exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
that's what I've been going through this past week. I'm like, this is wild.
Wow. Like, yeah, right. A lot of unpacking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are some other things that Francesca talked about that you really resonated with?
Definitely the body thing, for sure. Like, I think now I'm just, because I think the reason why I asked you and Francesca about this idea of like body disconnection or connection is because I'm wondering it for myself too. And so I love what she said. It's like, you have no idea what somebody else is going through. And so, you know, they could be skinny and their hair is great and their skin's flawless, and just be in so much pain, like struggling. Mm-hmm. And we forget that. And I, even though I like validation from people, I mean, it also depends on who. Like, I don't like when people like who don't even know me be like, oh my God, you look great. I'm like, bitch, I always look great. It's just, it's just like, I dress up, I don't dress up, you know? but I do make it a habit, or have been, to not compliment people or say anything about people's looks.
Yeah.
And that's been a conscious unlearning for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so used to gassing people up. Like, I love when people look cute and I'm like, oh my God, you look great. You look cute. Yeah. But sometimes that might be really triggering for someone.
Yeah, no, it's really true. I think about that a lot too. And I try to focus. I'm like, cause this is what guys have to do too when they like,
yeah, girl. Like, you're so smart.
Because I find myself doing similar things. Like, I have this Reiki practitioner, Rihanna, I see pretty regularly, and I always think she looks like the hottest like bomb digs ever. And I'm always like, oh my God, your outfit, oh my God, your hair, oh my God, your everything. And then like just this past time, I was like, oh, I need to change this up. Like, I need to be like, you're so, no, exactly. Like, you're so smart.
You're so funny. Because that's how guys give compliments when they can compliment on your looks. So, yeah. But do you think it was making her uncomfortable, or was this your like observation where like, I'm going to chill out a little bit?
I mean, I think that, yeah, I guess I should just ask before I like the think I know, but it made me be like, oh, I think I need to like shift some of the things that I say.
Yeah. This reminds me of, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, this reminds me of something that I've also been thinking about this past week, like in terms of body too, because I realized that a lot of my like old girlfriends would constantly look at other people, like other women's bodies, mm-hmm. just naturally. And then they'll go through this comparison of like, oh, I don't have her boobs, so I don't have her ass or whatever. And I remember going on a vacation with one of my good friends, and she was just constantly looking at other women's bodies. And we were in Portugal, which is like a beachy place.
Yeah.
And then comparing, and then like, so like negatively self-talking about her own body. And I didn't have a great body then, you know, I was like, it was in middle of school. So I was not working out and eating, whatever. But I realized it was messing with my mental health, because mm-hmm. I'm just hearing this, like, and I had to be like, oh my God, like I had to literally like just shut her out of my head, because she was just nonstop. And she was even asked me, she was like, you don't look at other women's. I'm like, no, I like men. So I'm like, me, I'm checking out all the dudes.
Yeah.
Like, and then, and it hit me. I'm like, I never check out other women. Unless they're wearing something cute, and it's usually like, that would look so cute on me. I love that dress. But I never look at myself in comparison of other women. I am too busy looking at boys. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, like, I wonder if other women do this, where they just subconsciously are just scanning, and you just see women, 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 and then you do this comparison to yourself.
I think it happens all the time. I actually do this with height and other women.
Oh, how tall are you?
I'm 5'3".
What? I thought you were taller than me. Oh man, I am.
Everyone thinks that I'm like 5'7".
Yes, I was going to say 5'7".
My husband teases me because I'm like, honey, it's because my personality is so big. It's like, just like, calm down. No, I'm 5'3". And that's not like crazy, crazy short, especially with so many Asians in Hawaii. But I find myself, I don't know, it probably started when I was a gymnast and I was like under 5 feet up until my senior year of high school. And I think I'm just so used to like looking at everyone's height. And so I still do it.
You have to be small.
Right. So I was like 4'11" all the way until my junior year of high school. And so I think that in classes, like when we were younger, we'd always have to line up by height, or when you're just learning about different, like when children were trying to learn like sizing and stuff, it's a lot of times in school, we would actually like physically act it out. So I was always the first one when things were done by height. And then we do like Mayday performances, hula performances, and I was really active in other activities. And so they'd always line us up by height because they wanted to make sure when parents came to the shows, all the children could be seen.
Right. So did you like being short? Or
I don't know. I think I just was like, I guess I didn't care either way. It was just like constantly like, yeah. And so I still do that. Like, I'm not really looking at their clothes. I'm not really looking at their bodies or their faces. I'm like scanning the room for the height.
It's more just like oh, you're tall.
Shoes or not. Yeah, exactly. And I am curious, like if they're wearing like heels or flats. That must be unique, maybe. But anyway, I think women do this all the time, but maybe more like how your friend does it versus me looking at height and you just looking at guys.
All right, well, let's end it there.
Yeah.
Well, okay. This was a good conversation. I really love learning about Francesca because we just follow her on Instagram and then we got to really just know her as not just an acupuncturist, not just as a co-owner of a clinic, but just get to know Francesca. So, and I love that there's a lot of things that she said really resonated and kind of played in with what other guests have said.
Yeah.
Right. And that keeps popping up. It's like, we have these similar themes across different of our guests, even though we all grew up in different cultures and different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. I can't wait for the next episode.
Same. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye, Tamsin. Well, that's it for today. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and share it with your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at @beautyasabirthright and say hello. If you're interested in learning more about Taoist face reading, head over to elementalarchetypes.com and follow Dr. Tamsin on Instagram at @elementalarchetypes. If you like to explore beauty through your own hands, you can visit youngface.com. You may also explore Paige's Instagram at yang.face for tutorials, Chinese medicine theory, and candid thoughts on cultural appreciation.